morning, if you would. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Now, Father, we thank you for the word of God that we've read, and Lord, we could indeed go on and continue reading because the next chapter continues teaching these things. But Lord, I pray that in the passage of Scripture that we're going to focus on this morning, that you might do something in the hearts of your people, that you might help me to be a blessing. And Lord, I just pray that every heart would be open, Lord, that we could just put aside everything else and all the other things, that all of those things will keep, Father, all of our worries, all of our fears, all of our failings, they'll keep. And Lord, just help us to open our eyes to the truth. And Lord, help us to open our hearts to your word. Now, Lord, bless your word as it goes out today in the hearts of your people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at that whole passage, it's just an amazing thing. It just kind of gives you a blueprint for a Christian life of how to live and what to do and what it means to be a Christian and things that we're supposed to do. You know, this is something that we ought to memorize. You know, I'll be honest with you, you go into chapter 4, he talks about this. He says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." And he talks about praying, walk with wisdom toward them without. Let your speech be always with grace and so forth like that. He goes on and that's continued there. And so for every walk of life, every situation of life that you can pretty much find yourself in those, that little segment right there, God gives us marching orders, a list of how we're to behave, right? How we're to, what we're supposed to do in that way, how we're supposed to behave. And so that would be a good list to memorize, don't you think? I mean, if you were going to go somewhere and you had something that was important in your life, that, I mean, if you decided, I got to go to the grocery store because we got to eat and there are things that I need. Somehow, whether mentally or on a piece of paper or on your phone, most people do what? They make a list. And they keep that list with them. And if they're not going to write it down and carry it with them, then they memorize it, don't they? If they want to get everything they want to get. And, you know, so a lot of times, I've been with Sister Denise, and we've sat there and we've gone to the store and we've gone through and got these things, and then we get back and we're coming back and she said, I should have made a list of the things I needed because we got this that we got to do, but we needed these things and I didn't get them. And God's already made us a list. Good list to memorize. That's not even the message. That's all free. Amen? That's not even the message. That's just extra. Okay? But God gave us a list. That's a good little list to learn to live. It's a good list to check yourself against. Amen? How am I doing in this category, whatever it is? But he starts out and he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And then he says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now the logistics of that is very simple. When Jesus Christ comes back in glory, when he comes the first time, when the trump sounds and with the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? And then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with him to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we call the rapture, right? Amen. The catching away. That's what that word rapture means, to be caught up, to be caught up in something. Somebody says, he was in rapture. That means he was caught up in something. That word rapture means to be caught up, to be snatched up, however you want to say it. But but we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Because the Lord's coming back. But notice what he says. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Do you understand what it means for something to be your life? You know, we live in a culture that is caught up and fraught with entertainment and people seeking fame and fortune and all these things like that. And I have seen so many people throughout my 61 years that have told me, or I've heard them say, in one form of media or another, an interview, an article, that something was their life. I've heard athletes say, basketball is my life. Football is my life. I've heard actresses and actors and singers saying, you know, Music is my life. Acting is my life. I've known people that have worked jobs and they would literally tell you that their job, their career is their life. And they devote such time to that and such effort and such focus that you can't help but believe them. You cannot help but believe that what they say is their life, that is their life. And matter of fact, many of them, after they have been forced to retire, there's so many of them that their purpose in life is gone. Because that has been their entire focus. Athletes that cannot adjust. I've known people in the military that have been that way. The military is their life. It's everything. And when they get to that point where they have to leave it, and now all of a sudden they can't cope with the world, because they're that which they built their life around, their purpose, that which was their life, is gone. And the Bible clearly tells us that if we're risen with Christ, if we're a child of God, then Christ is literally our life. He's literally our life. If you go to what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Of course, everybody knows John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is absolutely exclusive. That means no other religious figure, no other religion, no other idea of morality or anything else can get you to God, can get you to heaven, can get you to the Father, because the only way anybody can come to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is it, period. There's no argument, there's no ambiguity, there's no way. It's Jesus or lost. Put your faith and trust in Christ or you're lost for eternity. Reject Christ and you've rejected life itself. And that is the truth. Sadly, the world doesn't want to hear that, and I understand the world doesn't want to hear it. And sometimes we have people that profess the name of Christ and they kind of tremble when you say that, because, oh, you're being too dogmatic, preacher. You're going to upset people, preacher. Look, I really don't care if I upset anybody. I don't want to be unkind. I don't want to be cruel or anything like that. But the bottom line is, Jesus is the only way of salvation. He died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He shed His blood as payment for our sins. If you reject that, you have no hope. You can make up any religion you want to make up. You can go follow anybody you want to follow. But if you don't trust Christ your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. It is just that simple. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's life. John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. There's the focus. Christ is life. He's alive. Life is in Him. Jesus Himself said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. life. And when he's talking about life, he's not just talking about going out and having a good life and having fun all the time. That's most people's idea of life. Trouble-free problem. No, the abundant life that Jesus promises is there whether the government likes it or not, whether the government likes your beliefs or not, or whether the people around you like it, whether you suffer persecution. It doesn't matter where you live. You can live in Sri Lanka, or you can live in New York City, or you can live in Texas, or you can live in Iran or Iraq or any place. You can live in Russia. You can live in China, and the same abundant life is available. But it's only found in Christ. It's not dependent upon our circumstances. I think that's where we fail a lot of times. A lot of times our focus on life is, man, do I have a life? Is God blessing me? Is my life trouble-free? No. God promises to be with us in trouble. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what he said, wasn't it? And so this life that we're talking about is more than just having all our ducks in a row and everything working well and finances in order and all these things. It's deeper than that, isn't it? He says, when Christ, who is our life. Think about that. What is your life? In the book of James, it says this. Let's go to the book of Galatians first. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, God says through him, for us, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If Christ is your life, that means that's where your faith ought to be. We shouldn't put our faith and our trust in men. Everybody is looking for the next election. I mean, I'm looking for the next election for the simple fact that I hope I can, you know, I hope I can convince people to vote for the decentest people we can get, and I hope we can get the most constitutional government we can get. But you know what? I don't have any trust in them. Matter of fact, if you do more voting than you do praying, that means you trust men more than you do God. You ought to vote. We're free. We have that ability to vote. And do what you can. Try to influence the culture for all you can. For righteousness sake, that's what we ought to do. But we ought to do a whole lot more praying than we do voting. Most people's voting is about the same as they pulling the lever on the machine at the casinos. I hope it comes out all right. But we ought to be a praying people, right? Praying for the will of God, praying for God to intervene, praying for God's mercy on this nation that thumbs its nose at Him. We ought to be that type of people. But they will be a people of faith. 2 Timothy 2, 1-1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I am an apostle by the will of God. In other words, God has a plan for me, and it is according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That means that this life that is in Christ, this person Christ who is in our life, He has a plan, He has a purpose, He has a will for us. It's part of that life. I mean, most of us with our salvation, we have this idea, you know, how God lifted us up out of the mire and the clay and everything like that. But our idea of it is God lifts us up out of the sin and degradation of the world, and then pats us on the hand and says, "Now go on and behave yourself." Don't fall down again. And I'm not making light of the fact that God wants us to live a good and godly life, but all of that is part of a purpose. Your life should have purpose based upon who you belong to. A purpose of our life should be centered around Christ and the things that we do. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's a change. There's a desire. There's an understanding. There's an idea that needs to be put forth in our, that needs to become real in our life. John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." He said, that which was from the beginning, that which we've heard, we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life. Talking about Jesus. He said, we walked with Him, we talked to Him, we touched Him. We saw who He was. We saw Him ascend up into heaven. And you and I, we may not have been able to see Him ascend up to heaven, and we may not have been able to put our hands upon it. But we have His Word. We have His written Word to put into our hearts. And we have what we need. It's this idea that it's life. Christ is our life. What do you live for? Who do you live for? That's the question. Who is the one that is central in all your planning? You take the athletes that I mentioned earlier. You take the athletes and they go out and they go work their entire life focused on it. What they eat, what they drink. The actresses and the actors, they do that too. They focus on that stuff. You'd be surprised how many of these actresses and actors have these big old pretty toothy grins and everything like that, and how most of them are false. In other words, they're prosthetics or dentures or whatever it may be. Now they've got implants, but they do actual work, and they are willing to sacrifice. I mean, they have a perfectly healthy set of teeth, but they just don't look good, so they go and do whatever they need to make them look good. And if they have to yank all them rascals out and wear dentures for the rest of their life to run around smiling at people and look the part, then they'll do it. They'll do whatever's necessary. You'd be amazed at what goes on behind the scenes. And I'm not talking about people compromising themselves, although sadly that is the case, and debauching themselves and prostituting themselves, and that becomes part of the culture because of the wickedness. But so many of them are just willing to put in the effort, the hours, the pain, the suffering, whatever it may take, whatever it takes to get to where I want to be. And that's their life. Everything revolves around that. And that's the way it ought to be for us with the Lord Jesus. Everything. He's our life. And when He appears, I'll appear with Him in glory. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, if you turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, one book over, Philippians chapter 1, he says this, He says, according in verse 20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul's writing this from jail. He doesn't know whether he's going to be put to death. He's living in a time where Christians are going to be are being put to death for their faith. This is the time of the Roman gladiators. This is the time of the Circus Maximus and the arena and the wild beast and the things that went on during Rome. And people that were enemies were made the entertainment with their blood sports and so many Christians perished during that time for their faith. And Paul is there, and he's writing to them, and he's talking about the gospel being preached and the things that are happening. He says, my hope is that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, regardless of the circumstances that come, that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. Whether I have to go and make a final testimony before men and give my life on the altar in order to serve Christ, or whether He allows me to stay here on this earth, whatever the case may be. He said, I want Christ to be magnified in my body, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you kill me, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to go to heaven. You can't kill my soul. You can only kill the body. After that, you can't do a thing. Because Christ is my life. My faith is in the Lord Jesus, who gave Himself for me, who shed His blood on Calvary's cross. And He died on Calvary's cross, and He paid the penalty for sin, and He rose from the dead. He proved that it was paid in full. And now, you may be able to hurt my body, but you can't hurt anything else. He said, matter of fact, he said, I'm kind of in a strait betwixt two. I had a desire to depart and be with Christ. Paul's saying, we talked about when Christ shall appear, who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. He said, I'm kind of in a strait here. He said, I'm kind of in betwixt, in between here. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. I'd like to come back with Him, instead of wait for Him to get here. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, because that's far better. You know what he's saying? To die and leave this world is better than to stay here. You ever despaired of this world, life? You ever been saying, Lord, it'd be so good to just be home. I'm so tired of this world. I'm so tired of the things they do. I'm so tired of what I have to see on a daily basis. Lord, I just want to go home. I've known many saints of God that have said that to me and felt that way. I felt that way myself a time too. We all have those hard patches. Man, I just want to go home. I just want to be with Jesus. I wish the Lord would come today. But he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I don't know what to choose. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. I don't want to be in jail. I don't want to have to fight with all these people. I just want to go to heaven. I just want to be with Christ. I just want to be with my life, my Savior, my all. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith. He said, well, I want to go home, but you know what? My life is where God puts it. And I'm not done yet, so if I'm not done yet, then I'll just have to continue doing what I'm supposed to. Continue living for the Lord. Continue being the apostle. Continue doing my ministry, whatever it may be. And we've got to get to our point the same way where, hey, you know, we understand and we know that our life is in heaven. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we'll appear with Him in glory. One day, we'll either depart this world and go be absent from the body and be present with the Lord, or Christ Himself will come. And after the dead in Christ rise first, those bodies are taken up from the grave, then we ourselves will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But until then, I'm just going to continue living for the Lord. I'm going to be the man, woman, boy, or girl that I should be. I'm going to be the child I should be. I'm going to be the mother I should be, the father I should be, the worker I should be, the friend I should be, the neighbor I should be, the preacher I should be. Because my life is not here. It's not in the abundance of things that I possess. My life is in Christ. Christ is my life. James, we'll go to the passage in James chapter 4. He's talking to the rich man in that time, in that era, and he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know what shall be on the, know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Notice the question isn't now, who is your life? The question is now, what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that. And you ought to be saying, if the Lord wills, I'll do this. Your life ought to be, because Christ is your life, so therefore our lives ought to be, the one caveat that ought to be on every aspect of our life is, if the Lord will. Amen. That's what it ought to be. Why? Because our life, what is it? A vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Our time on this earth is not that much. We may seem, you know, when I was a little child, it seemed like it was forever. I remember the first, I go back and think about the first, the summer when I first met Sister Denise. And I look at that and I was, what, 18, 19 when I first met her. And you know, I look back on that summer and I look back at all the events and everything that happened in that summer, and that summer seems like it just was so long. That summer to me seems like it was years, and it was just a summer and a fall and a It wasn't a long time, really, at all. Sure did seem like it back then. But it wasn't. I look back at it now and I say, that was just a matter of months. It looked like, it seemed like it was a long time. Now I look at it and say, that ain't no time at all. I mean, we look at our lives when you're a little child, life seemed to be so, and of course as we get older and we get so caught up with life, it just whizzes by, and then the older we get, the faster it seems to go, doesn't it? I almost think it's a mercy from God. But our idea of time is such that sometimes we think it takes forever. If we're bored, we've got nothing to do. Time just creeps by, right? Time goes on. It passes by so fast. All the things we're striving for never seem to last. Time goes on. At times it seems so slow, and yet the things we thought we had, yet the time we thought we had is gone before we know. Time goes on, a vapor, just a mist, and then eternal agony, or then eternal bliss. Only two choices, right? But while we're here, our life ought to be about Christ. He is our life. And we don't have a lot of time to make the most of it. My opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven, my opportunity to win souls, my opportunity to be a blessing in this world, my opportunity. Do you realize that there are some people in this world that you now, as a child of God, that you have the opportunity to be a blessing for you, but the time is coming when either they will die and face the judgment of God, or you will die, and that opportunity will be gone forever. No wonder the Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they that are of the household of faith. Not when you get the time, but when you have the opportunity. Christ is our life. If you're saved. If you're not saved, this is the best you will ever see. That is a simple fact. That is the simple truth. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, and you've made up your mind that you're not going to believe, then you better eat and drink, because tomorrow you die. Better make the most of it, because this is all you're going to get. Good news is that you're still breathing. And there's an opportunity to be saved today. If you haven't trusted Christ, you're saved. There's an opportunity to be saved today if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. If you'll believe that He is the only hope of salvation for you, and you'll put your faith and trust in Him, believe that He paid for the penalty of your sins by dying on Calvary's cross and the shedding of His blood, believe that He rose from the dead incorruptible, and that He and He alone can save you, that He's the only Savior. If you'll call on Him, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've trusted Christ your Savior, He's your life. He's your purpose for living. He's your purpose for everything. You ever hear anybody talk about a wasted life? So much promise. Yeah, you know, I have a brother who I love dearly, and he's pretty much a wasted life. His life has been wasted. It's gone. It's over. Smart as a whip, but could do the most stupid things. could have probably done just about anything he wanted to do, but didn't. All he wanted to do was party and have a good time. Blew every penny he ever made. I lost every job he ever held. Just pretty much wasted his life, then died over $68 worth of cocaine. Oh, that's the epitome of a wasted life, and I hate it. It pains my heart to say it. I don't like to talk about it. I don't really like to think about it. I sure do miss him. I'll never see him again. Sad thing is, most people in this world, their life is a waste when it comes down to eternity, because they won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Sadder still, we have a passage in the scripture talking about how people, their works, their life will be tried by fire. And some of them will suffer loss, because even though they themselves will be saved, they'll suffer loss. Why? Because it was just wood, hay, and stubble. Things didn't matter or anything. In other words, they didn't live like Christ was their life. What about you? Is Christ your life? Now, I understand if you're saved, He's your life. Of course He's your life. Eternal life is in Him, and there's no other. And my faith is in Him, so therefore He's my life. It's because of Him that I will live for all eternity in heaven and in fellowship with God for all eternity. It's because of Him. He is my life. But is that your reality now? Why are you waiting? Don't we understand that our opportunity to live for Him is short? And oh boy, that relationship with Christ in heaven, it's going to be so sweet. Why do you want to wait till then to experience that? What a life it is for Paul to be able to say, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. It's like, this is the most important thing to me. You know, I've heard, like I said from the beginning, I've heard athletes say, this sport is my life. I've heard entertainers say, this Hollywood is my life. Movies are my life. Acting is my life. Singing is my life. Music is my life. I've heard people say, the military is my life. I've heard people say, this business, it's my life. It's everything there is. And this is everything for me. I've even heard preachers say, preaching is my life. And they're all the wrong answer. Jesus Christ is our life. Amen. If you're a Christian, Christ is your life. If you're not a Christian, He can be. He wants to be. He can make a difference. He can change everything. He can forgive your sins and make you a child of God. It's so funny. During the COVID crisis, whatever you want to call it, pandemic, they Well, they were all about the vaccines, right? And in fact, they were even willing to say that if you didn't take the vaccines, we're going to ruin you. I mean, that's what the government did. If you don't take the vaccine, we will ruin you. This is how important it is. Now we come to find out the vaccines don't work at all, right? And a lot of people did get ruined and hurt because they're like, well, I don't want to take this vaccine. It hadn't been tested. And when we all talked about it, I mean, I was very upfront about that. Hey, most vaccines are tested for 5 to 10 years before they're ever even put into human trials. And these didn't have any of that. And so, I mean, I shied away from the beginning. I was like, man, I don't want to do that. And many other people did that. But some of them had, they were either forced to take it to keep their livelihood, or some of them lost their livelihood. You had nurses and doctors who, and particularly the nurses, not so much the doctors as much, but some doctors, but you had nurses and doctors and that were there during the worst part of the pandemic, that were there on the front lines, and then they took a stand. They said, hey, I don't want to take this. You know, every man to himself as far as that goes. You make up your own mind about that, but I don't want to take it because I don't, you know, I've been exposed, or I've already had it and I've got natural immunity. Oh, no, you can't do that. You take it or you lose your job. And they lost their jobs. We're talking about literally thousands of people lost their jobs. And millions took something they didn't really want to take because they were being threatened. What does all that have to do with this? Because they said it was so important that that should be your life. That was so important. Can I say to you that Jesus is more important than all of that? He's your life. And that's the way we ought to treat Him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear in glory. I'm looking forward to that day. But I'm not going to wait to that day to live for Jesus. What about you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the service today. Father, thank You for everything You've given. I thank You, Father, for Your love for us. Father, if there's one today that's lost that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. I pray that today would be the day they would see themselves as they truly are, a sinner needing a Savior, and that they would realize that they simply need to repent and believe the gospel. They need to stop calling You a liar and acknowledge that they are indeed sinners needing a Savior, and acknowledging that they need that they deserve the judgment of God, and that they would believe that You sent Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son, to pay the penalty for their sins. And that You prove that penalty was paid in full, and that He rose from the dead, and that they call upon Him and be saved. That they would believe Your promise. Lord, we just pray for them and help those who have believed, Father, to help us all to realize that to live is Christ, that He is literally our life. And while we wait for that day when we'll be either come back with Him in glory or caught up to meet Him in the air, that we ought to desire that He's magnified in our body, but by life or by death, by what we do as we live in this world, or the fact that we depart and get to be with You for all eternity, whatever the case may be, help us to realize that Christ is indeed our life. And to live as people for whom Jesus Christ is literally their life, their purpose for being. Help us to be those people. Help us to be those people that please You and love You the way we ought. Now, Father, as we dismiss, I just ask Your blessing and I ask Your help for each person. Lord, You know every heart. You know who You've spoken to, and Lord, whatever the need is, I just pray they would simply humble themselves and trust You and come to You in Jesus' name. Amen.